and of course they're taking us to the airport, and I'm going to let him go get some hamburgers and things for us to eat in the back before we leave. And any of you, if you want to run up and get your hamburger and just dine with us on a burger this afternoon before we take off, that'd be fine too. I didn't know exactly what we was going to be doing until really yesterday, and decided to do it that way. And we've got a gigantic Awa May back there too that we're going to slay, the fatted calf, and take care of that here in just a little while. And you're welcome to part of that. If you want to stay and get you a burger and eat with us, well, that'll be quite all right. Amen. You have to fence for yourself and buy your own and come back and have a bite and time of fellowship. We'll be leaving as soon as we can. I'm one of these punctual fellas. Now, Miss Hall's not that way, but I am punctual. And I'd rather get at the airport an hour and a half early than to get there on time. And I guess you can blame Uncle Sam for teaching me that, but he taught me a few things. And he, that's right, he will. He'll teach you to be on time. I'm going to tell you, there's been some times in the military, if people wasn't on time, it would have cost somebody their life. That's right. When I was laying in that anthill that day, and those bombers were dropping 500-pound bombs around us, if they hadn't have been on schedule and on target, somebody would have been in big trouble, friend. And you're looking at him. Amen. I'm thank God for punctuality and precision. I like it. I like it. And I really do. I like things to go smooth. I don't like any hitches in things. I like for it to run smooth. And the devil will be around enough to throw enough roadblocks and everything and stick enough sticks in the cogs, and we don't have to do it ourselves. He'll do enough of it for us. Amen. All right. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6. Let's stand together, please. And I thought that I'd conclude this chapter this morning, but I feel like there may be at least one more message in verse 13 and possibly two more. I'm sure the two are there. It's just a matter of me having enough grace and wisdom to get them out. But I'm confident I'll make one more out of it on next Sunday morning. And so somebody said, I want everybody to look up here. You're looking at a man that believes in the leadership of the Holy Ghost. Now, I was planning on wrapping this up this morning. The Holy Ghost said, no, I want you to preach out of it next Sunday. That's all it took. Our plane's coming back to Nashville. You know why Peter could lay down between four quaternions of soldiers and sleep? Because the Lord Jesus had already told him how he was going to die. Crucified upside down and not having his head cut off. Lord done told him he'd be, well, crucified. Lord told him to be crucified. He elected to be crucified upside down. So he wasn't worried that night in chapter 12 of the book of Acts. Not one bit. He had already heard from heaven. Right. I'm going to tell you, friend, when you hear from heaven, you can take her to the bank. It's going to be that way. It's going to be that way. All right. Song of Solomon, chapter number 6 and verse number 13. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. What will you see in the Shulamite? As it were the company of two armies. Now may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. I want you, if you know how to pray this morning. My heart has been broken for this thought that I'm going to preach on, probably more than anything in the last several months. And I think that there's a whole lot that hangs in the balance this morning in what's said and in what is done and in decisions that I'm confident that need to be made for Christ in this building this morning. So let's pray together. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege that we have to be here today in the house of God, and for the privilege of preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And as I always pray, I ask for liberty to preach and for power. I pray that You'll anoint with that oil of gladness, that I might, Lord, stand in a holy place and preach to a holy people, a holy book. I pray that You'll have Your divine will and way in every heart. And Lord, may You extend that call, that invitation to people today. They might make their way back to God and sinners, that they might come to Christ and be saved. I pray for those here and those listening that You'd help me to say something to be a blessing to humanity. There are so many sorrowful hearts and grieving spirits, disquieted souls, discouraged people, that they need help from God this day. And Lord, they need to hear from heaven and not my voice. May the voice of the sweet Spirit of the living God speak in an unusual and a unique way in this service. And we'll be careful to thank You and to praise You for it. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Now, the reason that I said that I feel like there's at least one more message and maybe two in this chapter, I want to be dealing this morning with the first part of verse number 13, where the Scripture said, "Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return." And I want to try to preach for a little while this morning on the thought of a backslider comes home. Return, return, O Shulamite. What an invitation from the Lord for the return of that backslider. And it's doubled. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon Thee. And I want to deal a little while this morning with that thought of returning and a backslider that's coming home. And if you notice the verse here in chapter 6, the last verse, it closes, as I said, with a divine invitation from our heavenly Bridegroom. And with a heart of mercy and forgiveness, He invites the bride to return to her rightful place in the garden of fellowship. And I want to say that apparently she accepted that invitation. Because as this chapter closes, as chapter number 6 closes, the bride and the bridegroom, and really, and when the entire book closes, the bride and the bridegroom are living in harmony and sweet fellowship. And if you've been with me, and most of you have through the entire book, there's been numerous times that the bride has found herself away from God. She's found herself, may I say, backslidden outside the will of God and standing afar off from Christ, outside of His divine and holy fellowship. Now, the word backslider, church, is never used in the New Testament. You'll never find it anywhere in New Testament scriptures. And somebody said, "Why, preacher?" Well, I think out of fellowship is more an appropriate term. And beside that, a child of God cannot backslide to the degree that Israel did and apostatize from the faith. There is no such thing as a Christian apostate. Somebody said, "Brother Hall, what about men like Billy Graham that deny hell?" I want to say, my friend, they have been an apostate from the very beginning. Somebody said, "I don't believe that. You've got the right to be wrong if you want to be." But I'm telling you that it is possible for Satan, my friend, to transform himself into an angel of light. And those that crept in unawares did not creep in showing their full colors. The Antichrist in Revelation 6 did not come into the world and say, "Here I am. I'm the Antichrist and I'm against God." Oh no, He rode in on a white horse, which was a symbol of purity, and led people to believe, or will lead people to believe, that He is the peacemaker. But I'm telling you, a pale horse follows, my friend, whose rider is death, and hell follows him. We better be careful today of who we're following and what we believe, my friend, because we're living in an hour of great deception when the devil, if it were possible, would even deceive God's elect people. So I want to say that the word backslider is never used in the New Testament. It is always used in reference to Israel as a nation when they would depart from God and worship and serve the idols of the heathen. Friend, America is very rapidly getting to where Israel was when God had to lead them into captivity as a form of chastisement. Oh yes, you can mark her down. America today is far away from God. We live in a nation of baby killers. We live in a nation of immorality and indecency and ungodliness. I walked out of the store on yesterday, and I'm telling you, friend, I was disturbed at what I saw there at the checkout rack. If it was not Class A pornography, then I have been misled on what immorality and pornography is. I'm telling you, they brought it in to our homes, our living rooms, and God help America. We're a nation that was founded upon godly principles, but I'm afraid we're very rapidly backsliding into an apostate nation that has chosen to serve and worship other gods rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, may God help America today. I'm telling you, I've never seen us the way we are. Huh? No, buddy. We're in a mess. I read an article in the paper yesterday that said now the porno crowd and the violent movies and all of this type of R-rated movies have now invaded the 8 to the 9 o'clock hour, which is prime time on television for our children to be watching. And they gave the ratings there of who was the highest. I think that maybe CBS or NBC One had a total of 18.1 either acts of violence or sex acts or something of this nature every hour that they were on the television a day. I want to say to you, my friend, that if you got one of them devils in your house, that it would behoove you to get her out, my friend, before it contaminates your children's soul and damns them to a Christless eternity without God and without any hope. That's right, buddy. I'm telling you, they're bringing her on prime time. And it went right on to give the ratings on the others and where they stood on that thing. I'm telling you, America's not a Christian nation, buddy. It is a backslidden nation that is a stench in the nostrils of Almighty God. Hey, and they even said that homosexuality was promoted in an abundant way on those programs to our young people. I'm telling you, I don't appreciate anybody telling my children or my grandchildren that that's an alternate lifestyle. I'm telling you, it's a stench in the nostrils of God. And my friend, if God brought fire and brimstone out of heaven on Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you ever think that America, my friend, is going to escape the chastisement of judgment of Almighty God. They ain't going to escape it. No, so I want to remind you that Sodom had no Bible. And they had no Bible. And today we've got the light of the Word of God and the light of preaching and the light of radio ministries. We've got the light, my friend, and yet we're drifting off into that kind of a lifestyle that is bound to bring judgment to our country. Backslider. Return, return. Oh, Shulamite, return, return. I wonder tonight, or this morning, if the Lord Jesus is not in heaven tonight looking down upon America as we live in the scum and the filth of beer and liquor and vice and crime and that mess. I wonder if He's not looking down saying, return, return, old America. Return, return, that we may look upon thee. I'm satisfied He is. Amen to God. Now, backsliding is referred to Israel as a nation, but an individual Christian and entire churches can become indifferent and depart from the truth that they once practiced. Oh, yes, sir. Son, we can get cold in our heart. We can get bitter against God. We can become disgruntled. We can draw back and shrink back. Amen. Oh, yes, and get laid back. Yes. And set up, as Doug said in Sunday school, like concrete in our way, and be like a tree planted by the water that shall not be moved by the Spirit of God. Yes. I find all the way throughout the book of Solomon that little bride was a fighting. She was fighting a spiritual warfare, church, that she might stay faithful to her Lord and run her race with patience and fight a good fight, keep the faith. Amen to God. I don't know about you, but when I die, I want to go out running. I want to go out of fighting. Hallelujah to God. I'm not about to lay my armor down, give up, or back up on God, my friend. He's brought me this way all these years, and by God's grace, I've found the right way, the holy way, the blessed way, and the only way, friend, that I plan on going on that way by the grace of God. But I wonder about some of you. I've been watching you for a while. And there ain't but one term that can define what some of you are, and it's called backslidden. Not where you used to be. Huh? Better be careful. Some of you are not where you used to be. Some of you used to pray in the prayer meetings, wouldn't miss it for nothing. Some of you used to testify. I ain't heard you testify in a coon's egg. Somebody said, well, Brother Hall, there's a problem. Amen. And that problem tells me that you're been out of joint and you're not where you ought to be with God. Amen. Some of you used to shout. I ain't heard you shout in a while. Some of you used to be happy. I ain't seen a smile in a long time. Some of you used to talk about God, now you talk about everything else but God. Come on in the house, children. I'm afraid that we're a tad bit backslidden. Now, I realize the prodigal son is referring to a lost man. Now, don't you ever forget that. But by application, there can be an application made to a backslider. Now, I'm telling you, I'm reminded of him this morning. And how far that he went in sin before he ever woke up and realized where he was and what he had left and what he could have had. Now, I'm telling you that some of you, my friend, needs to wake up and realize where you were, where you are now, and where you could be by the grace of God if you would have went forward as much as what you've been going backwards on God. You've read about that prodigal son. The Bible said a man had two sons. And in the course of time, the younger one said, Father, give me all that belongs unto me. And he took his journey into a far country, wasted all of his substance with riotous living, found himself in the hog trough, eaten out of the trough with the rest of the hogs. But thank God he finally came to himself. Realized that those servants in the Father's house had it better than he had. Amen to God.
And he arose and went back to his father. And get this and don't miss it, my friend. He did not find an angry God when he got there, an angry father. He found a compassionate father that's tender and full of mercy, awaiting with outstretched arms to welcome him back into the home. Now don't leave me. Hey, may I say that that prodigal had been raised, I'm in the introduction. He had been raised in the Father's care and in the Father's house. Son, I'll tell you, it's one thing for folks to get out of the will of God when they've not had the watch care. I know Brother Nolan was talking to me the other day about my daddy, and he said, Brother Hall, he said, Preacher Gary, whatever he calls me, knucklehead, knothead, whatever he wants to say. He said, he said, it's untelling what kind of a witness your daddy might have been had he have been raised in a church where he got real preaching and where there was worship taking place and where the power of God was. My daddy's raised out all of his life in a little old Methodist church. But I'm telling you, it's not the case with the prodigal son, friend. He is raised in the Father's house, right in the presence of the Father, my friend. Oh yeah, under His watch care, His instruction, His teaching, His raised. I'm telling you, it is a stench in the nostrils of God to sit under the preaching of the instruction of the Word of God and then backslide and go away from God. Oh yeah, and wind up down in a hog pen, my friend, with your nose rooting in slop. What do you want to root your nose in slop for? When God's got a big old piece of manna. Or some honey in the honeycomb. Hallelujah. Honey out of the rock. That's right. Don't ever let it be said that you was raised in a church where they preached the Word of God, instructed in righteousness, and yet you backslid and went away from God. You know, he tried to live. Look here. You know what he tried to do, I believe? I believe he tried to live a spiritual life in the far country. He was raised in the Father's house, went off down into that far country. I believe that really he thought he could have the best of both worlds. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. Hey, look here. You have been raised. If you're saved this morning, buddy, you better listen now. If you're really and truthfully saved this morning, you're going to find out you can't have too much happiness down yonder in that far country. Oh, you think I can be just as spiritual out in the world? I can be unfaithful to God and unfaithful to the church and never pray and never read my Bible and be just as happy out yonder as I am in here. But that's a farce. If you're saved, I'm telling you, that's a lie of the devil. If you're lost, yes, you can have a good time out there and never miss a thing. That's why I'm preaching this morning. I think somebody needs to examine their heart to find out whether they're in the faith or whether they're lost and on their way to hell. Amen. He came to spiritual poverty. He spent all he had on riotous living. And so will you, friend. But he returned to the Father. He is received with love, compassion, and blessing. God gave him a robe and a ring and shoes and killed a fatted calf. And I believe with all my heart, that's what God wants to do in this church this morning. Huh? But don't all y'all leave now. I need some of you in here. I believe that's what God wants to do right here in this place this morning. Are you listening? It's to put a ring on your finger and a robe around you, shoes on your feet, and kill the fatted calf. Oh yeah, return, return. Oh Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. Yes, sir. I believe God wants to receive you back this morning. I want to say, before I expound this verse, that in my honest opinion, the words that are spoken in verse 13 are in retrospect. That is, that Solomon is looking back at what took place and not exactly at what is taking place right now. You say, why do you say that? For the bride has already returned. She returned in chapter number 6. She come back. And he's looking back retrospect. to what went on in the previous chapter. And the Holy Spirit is just here giving us a glimpse of Christ's heart when His bride is absent from Him. Are you here? He does not want, my friend, us to be absent from Him. But He wants us to walk in the light as He is in the light and have fellowship one with another. And let the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He gives us a glimpse of His heart when He said, "Return, return, O Shulamite." I'm telling you, the love of God, my friend, is beyond our comprehending this morning. Oh, and some of you sat like not on logs while Brother Doug was trying to tell about the... Oh, why don't you get deep in Sunday school? Come on in the house, children, and fathom the depth of the love of God, how He could love a worm like me and a worm like you. I don't understand how God could love us, but I'm glad, thank God, that He does, and He sent His Son into the world not only to save us, but that He might walk in the garden of fellowship with us. I'm going to tell you, friend, let me ask you something. How would you like to pay cash for a $1 million mansion and have to walk out, get up every day, walk around it and say, "Boy, it's pretty on the outside. I sure would like to see what my mansion looks like on the inside. In fact, I'd like to get in there and enjoy it." Yeah, oh, to stand at the door and knock. Yeah, wonder what door he's knocking on. The door of the church. Yeah. I've lay out a seal. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in with him and sup with him and he with me. Friend, that's talking about fellowship. Yeah, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that He's bought us and paid for us. Yeah, and we've no right to withhold Him entry into our church. I'm not necessarily talking about into our heart. The church He's purchased with His own blood. And son, we have no right, no God-given right, to withhold the entrance of the Holy Ghost into our blessed fellowship and communion this morning. I want to say something right here too. It ain't going to sit very well, but I'm going to say it. Some of you women ranting and raving and raising hell about your husband not coming to Saturday night a prayer meeting. How do you expect him to come to Saturday night prayer meeting? You don't even make it on Sunday morning back yonder. I won't charge you nothing for that. That's free. You ain't got no right to rail on him. You're at your crutch you're leaning on. Oh, it's getting quiet now. Bless God, it's going to get quiet. Somebody said, "What are you getting at?" I'm talking about us being out of fellowship with God. Huh? I won't charge you men nothing for this one either. Some of you men can stand back there in the foyer and in my office and just laugh, smile, grin, cut up, and have a hoopla all the time. We come out here in the church, and you'd think, bless God, that you've got leprosy or plague or dying of heart and lung cancer or something. As they say in Mexico, como problema, hermano? What's the problem? I'm going to tell you the problem. Backslidden. Backslidden. And spiritual things do not move us, but the carnal things always seem to stir us up just a little bit. Woo! Hot dog! Hallelujah! Now, I want to mention five things and I'm done. I'll try to get done by 6 o'clock. If I go over, we'll just forget Mexico. Huh? I want to say that there is a danger. You hear me well. There is a danger of backsliding. The danger. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return. And the danger and the repetition. The repetition tells us that there is a great concern in the heart of Christ. He is concerned because of the danger of backsliding. Return, return, O Shulamite. return. He doesn't say it once, twice, three times, but four times, return, return. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Oh, God have to say it's one time for it to be important, but He said four times. He gave an invitation four consecutive times to the Shulamite to return. Huh? That's right, and there's a danger. Somebody said, preacher, what is that danger? Get this now, for a child of God to draw back. I said a child of God. Listen what Brother Paul said in Hebrews. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Just draw back. And that word means to withhold under, to shrink, or to conceal. What are some of you trying to hold in this morning? What are you trying to hide? Some of you is trying to conceal a shout, but it's gone. You would like to, but hey, you're holding her in. Huh? What are you concealing? What are you drawing back? It means to be timid. Shy. Draw back from God. Come on in the house, children. Hey, and the problem with drawing back as a child of God, it's mentioned twice in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, why will you let your sin cause you to pine away? Why will you pine away in your sins? You know what? Hey, that's the danger of backsliding as a child of God. You'll sit around a pining and a mully grubbing and just, I mean, you're just kind of sulking and pining. Amen. You know what the word pineth means, don't you? It's like somebody that's, you act like somebody that's lost their love. You act like a man that his wife has just left him. And he loved her greatly. Somebody said, why am I acting that way? I'm going to tell you why. Because you're saved and you've got a heart that loves Jesus. And son, you cannot draw back from Him and without pining away in your heart. Because there's really a love. Somebody said, preacher, I don't know if I love Him. If you're saved, you do, because the Holy Ghost has shed abroad the love of God in your heart, what Paul said in the book of Romans. But I'm going to tell you, that's dangerous enough for him, but there's a greater danger than that. If you're sitting on the pew and you've just made a blind profession of faith and you're not really saved. Listen carefully. Not only can they draw back, but according to the last of that verse, Paul said they can draw back unto perdition. Oh, yes. Boy, it's getting quiet now. Paul said, but we are not of them who draw back. He said, we're not of them who draw back unto perdition. He didn't say we couldn't draw back, but we're not of them that draw back unto perdition. But of them who believe to the saving of the soul. Somebody said, preacher, what does that word perdition mean? It means to suffer ruin or loss of both spiritual and eternal values. And friend, I'm watching some of you sit on the church pew and you have apparently lost every bit of your spiritual virtue. You're suffering loss. You're going backwards. And I'm telling you by the grace of God that if you return this morning like the prodigal father awaited him at the door with outstretched arms, that Christ will await you to receive you, my friend. Back into His fellowship. Huh? So you see, the danger is that you can withdraw until your soul just pines away. You'll be like that psalmist said, "Woe, my soul, why art thou so disquieted within me?" Brother Massengill preached on it last year in the meeting here. Why art thou so disquieted within me? Just pining away. Just saddened all the time down in your heart. Oh, you can put a smile on your face. Come on the house, children. You can put a smile on your face. But you know all the time that there's just something in there that you're just so sorrowful and sick and of your sin and the condition you're living in. I'm going to tell you the problem is you're backsliding on God. Hey, there ain't but one way to be happy in Jesus, and that's trust and obey, friend. That's right. And look here, we're soldiers of the cross. There ain't but one place. They ain't but one place to be happy serving Him, and that's out on the front line, on the firing line. That is right. I don't believe I could ever serve in the army sitting back issuing out soft socks and shorts to other men while they done the fighting. I can't handle that. No, sir. I'm here to tell you, you let a bunch of them sodomites come down here in our parking lot, and some of you men get into battle with them. Somebody said, I wouldn't do it, preacher. You're going to see old Brother Hall. Yeah, I couldn't stand back on the back line and watch a fight. Oh, I had to get right out in the middle of it. And as a child of God, I can't sit on the back line, friend. Oh, no, I've got to get out on the fire line. We sang that old song, going to keep on the fire line. Amen to God. That's where we need to get this morning, is on the fire line for the glory of God. Amen. That's right. Now, not only the danger of backsliding, and I'm trying to hurry, but the distance between God and the backslider. How far are you away from God? Huh? The repetition of the word return four times indicates that the distance was great. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return. How far are you away from God this morning? I believe Brother Smith read a book or is reading it or has read it, In Pursuit of God or God's Dwelling Place. If you haven't ever read those books, A.W. Tozer, I believe it's who you ought to read them, God's Dwelling Place or In Pursuit of God. Huh? How far are we really away from God? You see, we think when we're saved and God lives in our heart that that's all there is to it. Oh, no! How far are we away from God? I'm going to tell you what the passage says about the prodigal. Don't nobody leave me now. The Bible said the prodigal went into a far country. Into a country of aliens. Separated from the Father's fellowship. And when he got there, he settled down in the world. And I'm afraid that's the distance in some of your lives this morning. That you're dwelling in a foreign country. In a far country. May I say, look here now, come on in the house and listen to me a minute. May I say the only place that you can be happy as a child of God is yonder in Canaan land. Son, you can't be happy down yonder in the world. If you can't be happy down by the flesh pots and making bricks for the devil, let the devil lead you around by seeing and you come along, little wimp.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Come on over here. Sit down in front of the television and let them cuss at you.
Yeah, that's right.
Preach,
preach.
I was in a place yesterday and a fellow started using some foul words. The proprietor, I just headed for the door and the proprietor of the place said, where are you going? I said, somebody in this place got bad breath.
Amen.
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 I'm not at home there.
Amen.
I'm not at home at the theaters, at the beaches,
Amen.
At the amusement park. We coming from the funeral the other day on Friday, Brother Sandlin's, and that fairgrounds at Louisville, son, had us thinking that Six Flags over Kentucky. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a bunch of sick fags in Kentucky, friend. Amen to God. Mark her down in your little book. But I'm telling you, the parking lot, they had an old car show. And they had thousands of people up there. Son stripped off half naked, riding them bunch of stupid slides. We went down the highway and we saw one set off, broke down. I said, I don't wish anybody anything bad, but I would have got that all break down, son. And break down in front of Island Ford Baptist Church and let me and Brother Andrew go out and rip off a couple to them. Amen to God. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying as a child of God.
Amen.
That kind of stuff, it just don't interest us. Fella told me down there the other day, said, now, preacher, said, we've moved the gun show in Madisonville this year. Said, we've moved her down to the mall in one of the buildings down there in the mall. Said, they had some automobiles in down there a year or so ago. Said, I want to remind you, said, it's set up on Saturday and set on Sunday. And said, it sets up at so-and-so time on Sunday. And said, you can have your church service and you can get down there about 2 o'clock or so, 1 o'clock. And you can get in on a whole lot of the gun show. I said, John, I'm talking to the county coroner. I said, John, I hate to tell you this, old buddy, but I said, there'll not be no gun shows, not on God's day,
Amen.
Nowhere, much less down in the mall. Amen to God. Running around down there with a bunch of heathens at a gun show on the Lord's day.
Amen.
I'm not a-going.
Amen.
Brother Smith and I set up at a few knife shows. And they started packing up on Saturday. Guys come out and say, where are you guys going? Ain't you going to be here tomorrow? I said, it's preaching day. Amen. We preach on Sunday, son. Amen. Go to the house of God. God forbid that a man has shut down the church on Sunday and go to a knife show or a gun show. But I'm telling you, we've got heathens all over America that have shut down their Sunday night service for Super Bowls and little bowls and big bowls and cereal bowls and all kind of other kind of bowl on Sunday.
Amen.
That's right. But you would be surprised. Hey, when they struck down the blue law in South Carolina, I was in Bible college, and it would shock you at the Baptists that broke their necks to get to the malls and to Walmarts on Sunday afternoons, buddy.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Boy, it's getting quiet now. I'd say the whole lot of us is more backslidden than what we even think.
Amen.
Desecrating God's day.
Amen.
In a far country.
Yes.
Well, this world is not my home. I'm only passing through.
Amen.
My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue.
Amen.
Where the angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I'm going to tell you, if you do, friend, you've got problems.
Amen.
I opened the newspaper the other day and I said, Miss Hall, you ain't going to believe this. Old so-and-so was dealt to another team. I'd give a flip if they'd deal them off. Opened up yesterday and it said, Boney or Laboney or something. Still optimistic about coming out number one. Laboney can come out whatever he wants. I'm already on the winning side, praise God. I am coming out number one because I serve number one and I've come out number one.
Amen.
And I'd rather be in camp meeting.
Amen.
Preaching. Singing. Worship.
Amen.
Somebody said, you're a fanatic. I'd rather be a fanatic, friend, than no addict at all. Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad I got a fan in my attic. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's a blowing a breeze from another world.
Amen.
And it's called the breeze of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God, yes.
Yes.
Prodigal went to a far country. But get this. Jonah took a voyage to the bottom of the sea, friend. You know, when he got right, when he got on the very bottom, there ain't too many backsliders will get right till they hit rock bottom. Old Jonah said in chapter 2 and verse 6, I went down to the bottoms, to what? To the bottoms of the mountains, the earth. With bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, brought up my life from destruction. Oh, Lord my God. He said, I went as far down the bottom as I could go, to the bottoms of the mountains. You know what he's saying? I went down so low, I went to where the mountains have their origin, setting on the foundation of the earth.
Amen.
And if that wasn't low enough, he was in the belly of a whale. Somebody said it says great fish. It says in Matthew a whale.
Amen.
Brother Rain said that some fellow in a meeting was a preacher and said that couldn't have been a whale swallowed Jonah. Said his mouth, said a whale's mouth, his throat ain't big enough to swallow a man. Brother Rain stood up and said, sir, you're looking at the wrong end. You'll catch that after a while.
Yeah.
It was a whale. Jonah called it a great fish, but Jesus called it a whale. That whale took him all the way to the bottom, friend. He took a voyage to the bottom of the sea. You know why? God said, go to Nineveh, Jonah, and preach. Go preach, Jonah. Go preach. Jonah said, I think I'd rather get on this ship and head down to Tarshish. So he went down to Nineveh. Are you listening? Now stay with me. That brings me to my third point. The danger of backsliding, the distance between God and the backslider, and the difficulty in reconciling the backslider. There's great difficulty, friend. You know why? Now listen carefully. Because departure from God is in a downward motion. You can't go away from God without going down. It's always a downward motion. I'm going to tell you, momentum gets you going down, friend. Huh? And I've got news for you. The longer you're absent from God, the more difficult it'll be to return. The easier it'll get to stay right where you are. Return, return, O Shulamite. That's right. That departure from God is in a downward motion. O Jonah, in chapter number 1 and verse 3, he went down to Joppa. Chapter 1 and verse 3 again, he went down into it. That is the ship. Chapter 1 and verse 5, he went down into the sides of it. Now get this now. Hey, the first three steps down that he took was of his own decision. He said, I'm going down to Joppa. I'm going down in the ship, and I'm going down into the sides of it, and the shipmaster found him there asleep. I've got something to say about that in a minute, too. But those were his choices, his decisions to go down. But the final ride to the bottom, Miss Sharon, was God's choice.
Amen.
He had no choice about it. Fling me out into the sea. Somebody said that. He could have let him drown. The wind and the storm that he sent was divine mercy. That wind that created the storm is a type of the Holy Ghost. That's a time to call, return, return. Oh, Shulamite, return, return. That wind, son, was a type of the Holy Ghost to blow into Jonah's way that created the storm that Jonah should have knew right then. I'm going in the wrong direction with God.
Amen.
Are you listening? But that ride to the bottom of the sea wasn't Jonah's choice. It was God's. God said, run on, big boy. Charles Spurgeon, I'm just quoting now. Charles Spurgeon said it was in the belly of that whale that Jonah became a good Calvinist. Because it was there he realized that salvation is of the Lord.
Amen.
That's what he said, didn't he? Amen. Salvation is of the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
Is anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
Return, return, O Shulamite. Somebody said, what happened to Jonah? Number one, he refused godly instruction. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry aloud in it. But Jonah, my friend, instead of going to Nineveh, he got on a ship down in Joppa and headed to Tarshish. He refused divine instruction. I want to say to you, and I know it's getting tight and it's getting slow, but I ain't done a preaching yet. I want to say to you that you are in danger, friend, when you refuse godly instruction from that Bible. When God's man has preached to some of you and preached to some of you and preached to some of you and it has not affected you one iota. You are walking on thin ice with God, friend. You refuse that godly instruction. Go to Nineveh, Jonah. No, I'm going this way. Take the boy to the bottom of the sea. I wonder how far down the tube that God's going to have to take some of you before you wake up. Oh, and somebody said, oh, preacher, I'm not there. Prone to wonder how I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love.
Amen.
Yes, we all are. And somebody said, and I'm telling you, it is a fight and a battle to stay right. I know where I am, friend. And it is a fight and a battle just to stay halfway right like I think that I am. And if you just lay back, give up, forget God, I'm telling you, you're on your way. If you're saved. If you ain't saved, you can live down there fine.
That's right.
Huh? Look here.
He didn't even regard the welfare of the other people. Do you realize that he climbed on that ship? Listen now, don't leave me. He climbed on that ship, set his sorry carcass down on that ship with all those other mariners, all their wares, their goods that they were hauling on down to Tarshish, and sat down there and had no regard whatsoever to the mariners that were on there. When the storm started, he didn't care nothing about them at first. He just went down in the belly of the ship and went to sleep and said, "Let the storm rage." I wouldn't give a flip if the whole ship drowns. That was Jonah's philosophy. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. When somebody hinders the work of God and brings the church to a screeching halt, it is time that we woke up and realized it's not just us it's affecting, but we've affected the entire house of God. Every family in here. Backslider, you, amen! And look here, you know the first thing they did when the wind started blowing and the waves come up? They said, "Let's lighten the ship of its wares." The cargo they was carrying went overboard to lighten the ship. If I may apply that, well, let's just throw over the gospel. We'll quit. We don't need that. We don't need much preaching, and we don't need much praying, and we don't need much Holy Ghost worship, and we don't need to praise God no more. Let's just throw it all overboard and lighten the ship. We'll make out if we'll lighten the ship.
Amen.
We throwed out our praise. We throwed out the prayer and the praise. And there's been an all-out effort to throw out the preaching. I know. Folks, can I say this to you? There used to be a time in the ministry of this church when I could walk on this platform at 3 services a week as calm as a cucumber and preach the Word of God to you without any problem. And I never walk on this platform anymore. I ain't got butterflies in my belly. I'm as nervous as a prostitute in church on Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you why. Because Sunday is a spirit of there's a spirit of Antichrist floating around that has attacked my soul. I'm telling you, last Sunday night I felt like every demon of hell had invaded my soul. It cost them their cargo.
Amen.
Cost them their load. Now, hey, he remembered the Lord when he reached the bottom. Said, "When my soul fainted within me," and I've got to y'all get to this last point. The Lord showed mercy. He sent the wind and the whale and delivered Jonah. Huh? The Lord could have let him drown, but he sent the whale that he might save him. Now, I want you to see this. You ain't dead with me yet, are you? I need some help. I see the desire of Christ in a renewed fellowship. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may see you. You realize you're seeing the very heart of God there. Now, I want to say this. There's one verse here I'm going to tell you about in a minute. That when God gave it, I cried. I don't ask you to feel sorry for me. But I wept over one person in this church for an hour the other morning. Over one verse of Scripture. I wept for you for 1 hour. Are you listening? Do you realize that when he said, "Return, return, O Shulamite," do you realize how earnest he was in that desire? You know what the Bible said in Ezekiel 33:11? Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? God said, Israel, turn or die spiritually. Turn ye. How much more earnest can you get than that? Israel backslidden on God down in the land of captivity, and God still pleading through Ezekiel for him to turn. Huh? Notice his patience in dealing with backsliders. And I'm trying to hurry so I can quit. His patience. Romans 10:21. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and a gainsaying people.
Amen.
All day long? Son, don't know anything about all day. All day is all day.
Amen.
And there's 24 hours in a day. And what Jesus is saying is 24 hours a day. That is in a continuous thing. Amen. I stand with my hands outstretched to a disobedient and a gainsaying. Do you realize that God, He has invited
his disobedient children to come to him and renew that fellowship. All day long! I'm going to tell you how far the distance is between you and God. At arm length. Or it might be a hand's breadth. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save. Ear heavy cannot hear, but your sins and iniquities separate. Apparently, it never separates us any further than an arm or a hand length from God. All day long. I wonder how patient God's been with some of us. Here's the one that killed me. And I'm going to try to get through it. But Hosea 11:8. How? How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? I was talking to my wife the other day about a situation. And she said, honey, you may just have to give it up. You may have to give them up. They may not want to ever be right. And I sat in that upper room for 1 hour. I said, how? How can I give you up? I don't think I can. I don't believe there's enough in me. Oh, how much love that God must have for us. That He stands with outstretched arms to us all day long. And the words from His very heart is, how? How shall I give thee up? Can I let you go? Now, I'm going to tell you what, we're either going to get right or some of you is going to leave one of these days or run me off and say he's just a mean old preacher. That he just don't love nobody, because I'm going to get right down bold to some of you and put my finger right where you're at and in point blank words of what the problem is.
Amen.
And you're going to get mad at me. You either get right or get mad at me. And when you're walking out that back door, my attitude toward you is going to be, how shall I give them up, Lord? Church? Hey, this little group that's here right now outside of Billy and Gwen has been together for a long time. And I'm honest before living God. I don't think there's enough grace in my heart to turn some of you loose. I don't believe I could stand to see you walk out. I want to see you go on with God, Brother Wayne. I want to see our people go on with God and live for God for in heaven. Have real ultimate victory in your heart. And I'm telling you, it grieves me to see your heart as far away from God as apparently as it is. How shall I let Ephraim go? God said, I can't. And I'm telling you, friend, He that spanned the awful gulf of sin with the cross of Calvary to reconcile us when we were sinners, how much more will He reconcile us as a child of God?
Right.
Amen.
Do you know how it broke God's heart to watch Israel load their little dough boards and things up on their back and head down that long road that led down into Babylon, into that captivity? You know what I likened it to? Every time I drive through Hopkinsville, I pass that little old park down there that says the Trail of Tears Park. Every time I walk through down there, I think of those poor Indians in the Cherokee Mountains that loaded up all that they had and walked through the mud and the slush and left their divine homeland and headed out into Oklahoma to those reservations. I'm telling you, friend, it's the same with God. It's the same with God's children. It breaks my heart, my friend, to know that we've headed off down into that land of captivity and we're so far away from God. It's no wonder we can't sing. How shall we sing? We've hanged our hearts on the willow by the river in Babylon and we cannot sing. And if I rupture my soul, my heart preaching to you, I'm going to preach with every bit of fiber I've got to call you back. Return, return, O Shulamite. There's a warning issue. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Galatians 5:7, you did run well. Who did hinder you? You've done good for a while. What's wrong? Paul said.
Amen.
And you was running this race with patience and doing great, man. You was singing and worshiping God and had your family right. And you walked right and uprightly and enjoyed worship. What happened
Amen.
To you?
Amen.
Who hindered you? Who? Not what? Who?
Amen.
And he made this statement, boy, and I'm telling you. He said, I would they were even cut off, which trouble you. And you know what Paul's saying? Paul said, I would to God that if they don't leave you alone, God just... Then I want to say His forgiveness and His desire. Israel in chapter 1 of Isaiah had went far from God. Far, far, far from God. And He still in verse 18 said, come. Now. Now. Not tomorrow. Now. Come now. And let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they'll be as wool. And I'm closing with this. I see a delightful welcome received. I hadn't said anything about this in the whole message. But it said, return, return, O Shulamite. And there's a lot of people think that Shulamite is the same thing as a Shunammite. A Bishag that came in to comfort David when he was dying. And a lot of people, hey. And Solomon's brother wanted her. Solomon had him put to death because his brother wanted Abishai. There's a lot of people think this Shulamite is that Shunammite Abishai. Solomon's love. Because she took Solomon's name, the word Shulamite is Sholol. It means the same thing as Solomon. And she took Solomon's name. But you know what her name implies? Just as it is, Shulamite. Perfection.
Amen.
He said, return, return. You're the perfect one.
Amen.
You are the perfect one. I've made you that way.
Amen.
Return. Hey, she is still the perfect one.
Amen.
Even backslidden, the child of God, still the perfect one. For He bears our name, the Lord our righteousness.
Amen.
Her name means peaceful. Solomon is the peaceful one. And if he is the peaceful one, then she must have been the one that had received peace. He's the peace giver. She is the pacified or the peace receiver. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God.
Amen.
You know what he's saying? If you're justified, you've got peace with me.
Amen.
Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return. For thou art still the perfect one. And there's yet peace between us. There's an advocate that stands that makes constant peace. Return, return, O Shulamite. And I close with this. That word means friend. And I believe Solomon's saying, return, return, O friend. For you have not injured me at all, and I still love thee. O Shulamite, return, return. Thou art yet my friend. Would you return this morning if God's spoken to your heart? Let's stand together, please. If the Lord's dealt with your heart, I don't believe I'd have to extend an invitation to you to return. I believe that if He has extended that invitation, that you would return on your own. We probably wouldn't even have to give an invitation if God's really dealt. I hope He has. I long to see some of you. With renewed spirits.
refreshed soul. And I want to say this to you this morning. If that airplane was to crash, I love you. This church is my life this morning. With it I live and die. And if you die, I die with you. If you live, I live with you. For we are all bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. What is that song? 196, Our Father. Help, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 296. As we sing together, if God has spoken, our altars are open for you. Return, return, O Shulamite, return, return, that we may look upon thee. Let's sing together, please. You hear it? One more verse. How shall I let thee go, Ephraim? How shall I let thee go, Ephraim? Some of you young people, why don't you sell out to God this morning? Some of you young boys, young girls, give your life to Him. Some of you married families and couples, give your life to Him today. Lord God, here this morning.